How encouraging it is to all be together this morning. It is a blessing to have all of you here, and especially we are blessed and uplifted by our visitors. Glad to have you with us today. And the very fact you're here suggests some things, one of which is that I think you have a desire, as all of us do, to progress in our Christian lives, to be more like Christ every day. And the Bible tells us in the last of 2 Peter chapter 3, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter earlier has said that we should be partakers of God's divine nature. And the Bible tells us that day by day we should walk in the very footsteps of Jesus Christ. We have lists like the Beatitudes we should be living by. We have a list of attributes like those Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1 or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, giving us a picture of what God would have us to live like. And so we all want to be more that way. We all want to be more like Christ. We want to make some progress in our Christian lives. That said, how are you doing? Here we are at the beginning of a new year. And you can look back on what's happened in the past. You can look forward as to what you might want to happen in the future. And you look at where you are right now. How are you doing? How are you progressing? And if you're not progressing as fast as you would like or in the direction you'd care for, how do you solve that? What changes can be made? Jesus was a master at relating to people where they were and in painting word pictures that they could understand based upon things they saw every day. A lot of them dealt with sheep. And so Christ talked about himself as the good shepherd and talked about the anguish of the shepherd when just one sheep would wander away. And in painting that picture, Christ makes a point that volumes of esoteric statements and proverbs and aphorisms could not come close to making. A similar case is here in the parable of the sower. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 11, Mark chapter 4. Three of the four gospel accounts have, as we've said, this parable. And it discusses and describes and details the very problem we've just been talking about. Why we're not making more progress. Now I realize most of the parable deals, in our minds at least, perhaps with the teaching of Christ at the moment he says it, with one coming to him for the first time. Although in what he says to his own disciples about them having ears to hear in contrast to others who didn't, suggests the fact that perhaps even when Christ first said the words were said more to those of us already listening than to those with no listening ears at all. But Christ sums up the problem here by saying that really people in their absorption of and their progress with respect to the truth of God are much like seed that's scattered or planted on different kinds of soil, different kinds of ground. Just as many in Jesus' day were shepherds or knew sheep, just so many of his day, agriculture was so much a part of their lives that when he talked about sowing seed, they knew exactly what he was talking about. And this is an idea and a picture that is not just for them and for that time, but it is one that makes sense to all of us in every age, whether you are an urban person or a rural person, whether you live in the city or you're out in the country with a big plot of land. you still know what it means to have a seed in the ground and have something come up or not. Have a seed in the ground and something come up and live or not. You may have a green thumb or, like many of us, less so. If you want to make sure that your plant will die, just let me take it over. And I'll either give it way too much water and I'll drown the thing, or I'll be so worried about drowning the thing, I'll scorch it out and it'll die of lack of moisture. I never have figured out the right, perfect blend of doing too much and doing too little. But I do know the concept. Ideally, you want to plant a seed, have it come up, and then have it flourish. Well, Christ uses this image of mind as he gives the parable of a sower that sows seed in various kinds of terrain. And it makes perfect sense. He talks about seed sown by the wayside that nothing happens. Well, of course it doesn't. If I said, brethren, good idea. Let's decide to have a congregational garden. Give us something to do, a way to fellowship, a way to get together and have some time to talk and some work together collectively. Perhaps we'll give what we have as a harvest to those who are in need. Perhaps we'll have a congregational dinner when we get all through. But let's have a garden together. And you say, well, that's a good idea. Where do you want to have it? And I say, the parking lot. There's a whole section of the parking lot where not much goes on. There's a whole back part of the parking lot that hardly anybody ever parks on. Let's plant our seed there. And I hope you'd have the sense to tell me I don't have any. I hope that you would be honest with me and say, Brother Keith, that's a lousy, lousy idea. And if I said, well, why not? Well, because the seed, it's not going to work. That's asphalt out there. You have to have some soil to work with. Well, that's the point Jesus is making. This wayside soil was kind of like that. It wasn't asphalt, but it might as well have been, impacted by the comings and going on the path toward the field. This wayside soil was so impacted, so firm, so impenetrable that the seed just would lay there on top of that as it fell out of the bag, perhaps. And what would happen? The birds would come and they would just snatch it away. Good for the birds, but not good for a crop. And Jesus, by interpretation, will say, that's what some people are like. The word is given to them, and it never penetrates the mind. It never takes root in the heart, because the receiving end has no interest in what's being said. There's a lot of subjects that I could talk to you about that you'd just glaze over and have no interest in. They might interest me, but not you. And the same for you with me. Some things that you might have a great interest in and great understanding of, and I have no interest at all in that subject. And so my eyes might glaze over. If you don't have an interest, you rarely have an understanding. Much understanding is born of tremendous interest. And those subjects in school you did best in were those you had an interest in. And those subjects you struggled with most are ones you really didn't see a reason for and you had no interest in. And sad to say, there are people in this world, and even sadder, there are people in the church, who for whatever reason really have no real interest in spiritual matters. Oh, they'll talk about football, they'll talk about the weather, they'll talk about the economy, they'll talk about politics, they'll talk about the election, or they'll talk about the building, but spiritual matters, the eyes just kind of glaze over. Not so much interested. And God, you think, can do everything? He can do anything? No. He's limited himself in that he cannot change your mind against your will. He can't make you interested in something you have no interest in. That's up to you. That's up to me. You know, if I said, let's plant a garden out here in the parking lot, you'd say, well, okay, if we're going to do it, let's take the money and we'll tear up the asphalt. We'll plow through the ground. We'll put some soil on top of that. We'll give us a good, firm foundation. Then we'll plant the seed. What if the asphalt had a say in it? What if the asphalt had a yes or no? And it said, no, I like to stay as asphalt. Well, that's the difference in the true story Jesus is painting for us and the reality of the lives we're living. Soil doesn't have a choice of what soil it is. But we always have the choice of what soil we are, what character we have. That's my choice. That's your choice. And so if you're not growing, it might be because God in his word is doing his best to get through to you, but you just have no interest in the very matters that Christ in the scripture, that God in the Bible is addressing. The writer of Hebrews talked about those that should have been teachers of the law, but they needed to be taught again the first principles. Well, they were kind of like this. Now, I hope by your being here this morning, by being a part of this service, that you're way past this part of the picture. I would hope that all of us have an interest in spiritual things. We want to go to heaven. And more than anything else, we want to be what God wants us to be. And yet still we find, I'm not progressing. I'm not making the difference in my life that I should be making. I'm not more like Christ now than I was 10 years ago. Why is that? Well, there's more soils besides just this wayside soil. There's the ground that's stony. It's got a rocky shelf just beneath the surface. You can't see it until you try to dig into it. And you realize there's no depth to the soil and the root can't go any deeper than just a few inches down. And because of that, it is susceptible to the scorching heat. Oh, it'll come up quickly, just like anything will from a seed. But because there's no depth, there's no root, there's no foundation to it, the first problems of sun or whatever, the plant just withers and it dies. And Jesus says that's what some people are like. Yes, there are people who hear the gospel and quickly become Christians and then lose interest. But there are those of us in Christ who just are hangers on for years and years. We've long since withered up. We've long since been scorched. And what was the reason? Well, at first, we were so excited when we became Christians. So excited to have sins washed away, heaven in front of us. We know what's going on. We know what's right. We know what the Lord wants. We're going to grow. And yet, we find that everybody doesn't agree with us. In fact, most people we know don't agree with us. Our friends that we've left behind, they don't agree with us. The media, it doesn't agree with us. Most celebrities don't agree with us. Most people in academia don't agree with us. We're kind of out there on an island by ourselves. And not just left by ourselves, people are taking pot shots at us by calling us all kinds of names and ridiculing our beliefs. And when we realize that, it's easier just to be like them, or at least to keep our mouths shut, and we don't grow. Because in terms of the wayside soil, we have to be willing receivers. But in terms of this rocky ground, we've got to be all in. We have to be committed no matter what. in any realm of study or mental, psychological, tactical growth in our lives, in any of it. You never progress until you pass this level of being all in, absorbed by what's going on, where it becomes a priority to you, where it doesn't matter who agrees with you or not, you're still sticking with it. No matter what opposition comes, you're still staying with it. You are all in. You're committed. Yes, that should happen at the time of conversion and baptism. Sins are washed away. We become new creatures. Everything is different. Everything is better. The old man has passed away. All things become new. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. But then we find some controversy, some adversity, some people that don't agree with us. Persecution because of the word is the phrase that Jesus uses. And just as quick as we were to accept truth, we're just as quick to dispense with it, or at the very least keep quiet about it and wonder why we're not growing within ourselves. Spiritually, within ourselves. Why am I not growing? It might be because I've never really fully committed myself to what the Lord wants for me, what the Lord expects of this world, what the truth really is. I've never really completely bought in. Oh, I hang around some people that do. And I know academically what the Bible says. And I might be able to pass a quiz or two on Bible subjects, but when push comes to shove, I'm not really sure I am really all in. And so I'm around people that disagree with the Bible. Well, I might be with them for a while. Or I hear a preacher say something different than what the Bible actually says. Well, he sounds convincing. Those people where he preaches, they're so excited. There must be something right going on there. I've never really bought in to the truth of what the Scriptures teach and what Jesus really wants. And what happens? Well, there's no productivity. There's no growth. There's no progress. In fact, that plant, it comes up, but just as quick as it comes up, it is scorched and it dies. And then there's that plant that comes up, and it seems to be doing well for a while, but the thorns begin to wrap themselves around the plant and chokes the very life out of it. And Jesus says that is like those who grow, and yet, and these are his words, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches take over. We have to receive, and we have to be all in, but we have to be focused and perseverant. We must never, ever give up, regardless of the distractions of life. And you think the devil is busy with you before you become a Christian? He's double busy with you once you become one. You think he's busy with the people of this world? He's especially busy with those of us in the Lord's church. And he knows exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to say it when we're most vulnerable, most in doubt, most questioning, most stressed. And he'll give us things that don't seem wrong in themselves, some things that might be just harmless distractions. And before you know it, that's where our minds are. That's where our treasure is. That's where our focus is, and we've lost sight of the goal. What is the goal? Well, it's heaven. That's the long and short of it. That's the goal. Yes, we want to be like Christ, but why? Because we want to go to heaven. We want to be faithful to the Lord, but why? Honest. All of us have to say is because we want to go to heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Paul the Apostle says that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. It's to go to heaven. And yet, we think we want to grow, we want to progress, we want to prosper. The devil continually throws us all kinds of distractions to take us off course, to get our minds off the subject, and to make us think that there are things just as important or more important than going to heaven. Like happiness, having security, having a comfortable lifestyle, engaging in those things that we know probably aren't best for us, in some cases are actually wrong for us. Oh, the devil knows what he's doing. And sometimes we act like we don't know what we're doing. And over time, these thorns of this life, they just choke us. To where we meant well, but we kind of meant well feebly. And we give up. And we wither. And we die. Because we just didn't keep on keeping on. Putting one step forward. One day at a time. Moving toward heaven. Being faithful no matter what. And choosing to live like Christ regardless whatever happens. Choosing to have faith no matter what might happen. Choosing to have the hope of our calling, regardless of what might seem to be the case. We keep on moving forward. What happens when you've got soil where it's not wayside and it's got good, rich soil all the way down with a good depth to it, is not rocky? And there aren't these thorns allowing themselves and being allowed to grow up and to choke the plant. What happens then? You're left with good ground that God can work with. And among things to include in our prayers every day, Lord, help me be good ground. God can work with us in ways we can't imagine, but we have to be pliable. We have to be in a mood, in a willing desire, in a decision of mind to be used, to be changed, to be molded into His image. God will do His part, but we have to do ours. And so I leave you with a question this morning, a question for all of us. Are we willing to be changed? The Word will do it. God has promised He will do it. Will we allow ourselves to be changed so as to be able to grow into what God wants us to be? Perhaps this morning you're here, not a Christian. Well, be good soil. Take in this gospel of Christ. Obey it. Become a Christian. Or if as a Christian you've walked away, come back. Be good soil. And if you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.